I sat looking out the kitchen window well before 7 in the morning just last week. I felt the chilly air seeping in and a mug of warm tea in my cold hands. I was ready to watch the morning light emerge, was waiting for the sunlight to change the look of everything. But I felt sadness. The tea had caffeine. How long would it take to change my mood, if it could? This mood was not one of deep grief and not a heavy burden of depression on my shoulders, yet it was a decidedly not fun feeling of sadness. I said my morning prayers anyway. I gave thanks for the gift of life and the new day, for a night's rest in a warm, safe place. I lifted up the names of parishioners who need good wishes or prayers. I brought their faces to mind, plus those of colleagues, friends, and relatives. I stated my intentions for living the day with gratitude, generosity, curiosity, and kindness. The light now was making the street visible and showing the colors of the cars parked on it. Then it occurred to me that pre-dawn darkness was just the right place for my sadness. The shadows could receive it. The shadows could let the sadness move in its own gentle way. Had it been 7 a.m. in June or July, the sun would have claimed the whole scene by now. It would be urging me into the many tasks of the day. Get going. Look alive. But the morning darkness of December seems to say, take it easy. Go slowly. I am taking it easy and going slowly, after all. Let it be. You will notice how you feel in this moment, and you will notice how the feeling changes. Soon it was bright and clear, and my day was on its way. And it went fast. The night came in the middle of the day, 5 o'clock. Wait, I'm not finished with my day yet. For years, I have resisted and resented the early evening. I've dreaded the shrinking hours of daylight, starting in early November when we set our clocks back an hour. But as this December solstice approaches, I'm trying to appreciate what can happen in the dark. I'd like to mention a few of the gifts of the time of darkness today. But first, I want to say it's not a gift for everyone, no matter what a preacher or a poet might say. Like many people, a friend of mine has a clinical biological reaction in the winter darkness called seasonal affective disorder. It does not help that she lives at a much higher latitude, even farther north than we do, and it's cold there. You know what they would call the chilly weather that we've had this past week or two? Spring. My friend sits under a special kind of lamp every day to give her body and spirit some extra rays of light. In retirement, she has the time to travel, so she spends a few weeks in the winter visiting friends in warm, sunny places. When she can save up enough money and find a cheap deal, she takes a trip to a warm country. Though she does not know Vietnamese, she has made her way around villages in Vietnam by pointing and smiling. In the sunshine of Egypt a few years ago, she heard people speak with hope right after the overthrow of longtime ruler Hosni Mubarak. She has enjoyed the January summer of Argentina, taking in the spray of Iguazu Falls and the marvel of a glacier and some penguins in their stiff cuteness. Rather than cursing the dark and cold, she follows the sun. Of course, this is not an option for most people, and she gives thanks for the privilege to do so. It's important to note that seasons of darkness and cold can be very hard on the spirit, hard on the emotional health of many people around us. It may not only bring up grief or painful memories of past experiences, it may bring depression that weighs on our minds and even on our physical bodies. This can happen to people young and old, in any occupation or stage of life. When our other ways of dealing with the shadow side of this dark time don't seem to be helping us, it may be worth seeing if antidepressant medicines or psychotherapy or a 12-step recovery group could make a difference for us. Whether as individuals or as families, we can look for professional resources and community support as we pursue emotional healing, personal growth, and the ability to accept the gift of life with joy. Personal growth can happen in the dark times and places. Seeds will sprout in the cool dark of the earth and begin their journey toward the light. As a tree stretches toward the sun, it also grows downward, inward, into the dark earth. We can be like the trees. As Henry David Thoreau said, "In winter, we lead a more inward life." Another friend of mine lives not so far north, so the weather's not as cold and the night not as long as in the north. Yet the winter darkness does mean, for her, a change of her pattern of living toward a more inward life. She spends more time under the covers, reading a book propped on the pillow next to her. In the living room, she brings out candles and a string of holiday lights. They remind her of our inner light, of an eternal spark. Believing that winter is the best time for exercise, she puts on layers and goes out for a brisk walk. The leaves crunch underfoot. The air chills the skin of the face. The nose runs. In winter, she says, we need exercise to stimulate our endorphins. We can, of course, be tempted to medicate our mood by drinking more alcohol and eating more, especially sweets and other carbohydrates. But the boost we might feel by consuming alcohol and sweets can have a downside. It can make us feel worse, edgy, after the boost wears off. This December, I am taking some of her advice. Of course, I may never stop my holiday consumption of cookies, cake, fudge, and anything else any of you would care to make for me. But I'm eating more almonds and pecans and not forgetting my veggies. And I am having less alcohol and drinking less often. You know, I'm not crazy about green tea, but I've been drinking so much of it lately that I think I may soon turn the color of the Grinch who stole Christmas. One Unitarian Universalist family I know has created their own solstice tradition. With candles and cloths, they make an altar of their table. They bake a light brown, round ginger cake. Dense, sweet, and only an inch thick. They serve it on a large round plate, which has a deep blue rim, glazed rim, and in that deep blue are stars speckling the night sky. And they pass this cake around, holding the plate, and then the other person will cut a piece of cake for the person holding the plate. And they won't speak. They'll indicate the size they would like only by gesturing and nodding. And then the person will serve them the cake. As the cake is served, what is revealed underneath it is, in the center of the plate is a round red sun. The sun returns. For solstice dinner, they eat foods only with round shapes, evoking the sun. They read prayers to the divine light and sing chants to the source of returning warmth. The parents hide little suns around the house for the kids to search for and find. And by finding a likeness of the sun, the kids are bringing the sun back, helping it return. This family does not rely on the dominant culture to tell them what they need to do or to buy for making spirits bright. They create their own traditions. Any of us can be creative. We can join with nature and with other people to create our own light and share the light now in the dark of winter. For many people, winter is a time of making soup and other warm foods and eating more of the fresh foods that this season brings out. In California, we have so many winter crops. Those in cold climates now can have the benefit of quick transportation of fresh foods from places like California. But in the old days, people in cold climates kept food in the root cellar and dried meat and beans from the summer crop. Back home in Indiana, my mother's refrigerator held many frozen foods for our winter meals, and this was fine. But around the corner from our house, my uncle and aunt had shelves of clear glass jars with green beans, tomatoes, corn, and other produce they had canned in the summer. My uncle Roger had been a cook on a ship in the Navy in the Second World War. As a boy, I sometimes helped him with his cooking, including this major undertaking of putting up all this food with tasks like boiling mason jars in big pots of water and taking other steps for cleanliness and safety. That was a summer activity, but the memory of it warms me in the winter. Now I can see that we were storing sunshine in shiny glass jars. The poet Theodore Retke wrote, "In a dark time, the eye begins to see." The darkness can help us to see the truth that we are not in control of everything. We can be so busy in our lives, have so many expectations, so many technologies at our fingertips and conveniences in our daily experience. This can lull us into thinking that there is an online menu tab for peace of mind, or an iPad application for wisdom, courage, and grace. The world does not revolve around any of us, including me. The earth does not rotate at my command. Its creation is a miracle and a blessing. The operation of the heavens is a wonder. And it all goes on without my permission or my involvement. It will go on without me. The darkness comes and goes. My cursing it or my blessing it affects only the condition of my own spirit. The season's advice to me: you need not be in control. And in fact, you are not in control. Let the darkness hold the future. Let go. We can be intentional about living in the darker season. This is why candles appeal to us. The darker it gets around them, the more they show off their beauty. Looking at a candle flame or a string of lights on the tree or around the window, we can think about the meaning of light and the bringers of light, like our nearby star, the human mind and heart, the source of love and light eternal, the creative spark, the divine fire of courage and compassion. Solstice rituals use fire and food and song to bless the darkness with beauty while praising the cycles of the seasons of the earth. People hang lights at Christmas to praise the source of life, celebrate the story of the Star of Bethlehem, and remember that sun and warmth will return. Here on Christmas Eve, this sanctuary fills with members and friends and visiting relatives and many local guests that we see only once a year. In the weeks leading up to Christmas Eve, folks ask me the time. 7 o'clock, same as always. They ask me if we will light candles and sing Silent Night at the end. Of course, we will make a circle around the walls and we will share the light with one another and sing. We will enjoy the darkness filled with song and silence and with faces illuminated by the flames. Folks never ask me, will we sing the carols and hear a homily? Will we have some instrumental music, prayer and silence and an offering? Yes, but people don't ask. It's like all those things are the setup to the Silent Night candlelight finale. Yet without those elements, the finale would be weak. Without the darkness, our candles would be weak. Likewise, without the embrace of the darkness, we might not have the reminder to plan ahead, create meaning in the season, and reach out for fellowship and support. The darkness holds an invitation to let go of all that we cannot control and accept with serenity all that we cannot change. At my kitchen window, in the early morning watch for the light, the dark of winter seems to say, take it easy and slowly. After all, I am taking it easy and slowly. Let it be. Feel what you feel in this moment. You will notice how it changes. The dark of winter is a time to consider the sources of light we can count on and give thanks for them. It's the season for tasting the warmth of nourishing food made by human hands from the gifts of the earth for our sustenance and our joy. It's a season for creativity, planning ahead, self-care, and care for others. It's a time for digging deep and for reaching out toward others with compassion, openness, and kindness. It's a time for patience and letting go of control, for releasing the past and opening to the mystery of the future. May we all be so blessed. In the days to come, may you welcome the gifts of light and warmth that you can bring into the darkness. May the days and nights ahead bless us with light, learning, warmth, patience, and peace. Peace. So may it be. Blessed be. And amen.